This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What would you grade the Cavaliers for this trade period? I'm asking you.
Well, I think the big thing is obviously that they were able to get a draft pick at all, but they were able to take on money. They were never going to be able to really get rid of J.R. Smith's contract. I was not surprised about any of that. There were going to be no takers for J.R.
Well, let's see what Justin Termini thinks about it, because he joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Find him on Twitter at Termini Radio, even though it's spelled T-E-R-M-I-N-E like Termine. He is the host of NBA Today on SiriusXM NBA every single day. He's fantastic. He joins us on the show. Hello, Justin.
How you doing? I thought you guys didn't talk in any NBA anymore, because I used to come on all the time. It's been a while.
You know, you used to have us come on all the time, Justin.
Yeah.
Where have those calls been?
What happened?
Well, I'm not sure anybody wants to really talk about Colin Sexton for 20 minutes on national radio is the issue.
What are you trying to tell me? You tell me that he's not that good?
I enjoy him a lot more than the guy you had as your star last year, so I'll take it. But
a lot of people are worrying about him. Are you worried about him long-term, Justin, before we get to some of the trade stuff?
Well, I mean, I think he's a competitor, so you're not worried about him in that regard. And he did torch the Celtics the other day. And, you know, Terry Rozier got him the first time around. Like, there are concerns, I guess, with the jump shot, but it's year one. I mean, like, look at D'Angelo, the point guard all the time, right? Like, D'Angelo Russell, Magic calls him essentially like a loser, gets rid of him, and now he's an all-star. So I think at the point guard position specifically with these young kids, you got to give them three or four years.
All right, Justin, can we settle down last night with one victory by the Lakers? They win. They are now, wow, one full game above 500. I'm sure that's exactly what LeBron was hoping for. They go 22 of 41 from three-point range. They were down 18 in the game. They were also down 6 with like under a minute and 15 to go. Am I supposed to throw a parade? The Lakers have now turned their entire season around, and they put all that murkiness and the past and the toxic relations behind the scenes behind them?
Yes, you are, because that's the biggest win that they're going to get all season.
Oh, come
on, not going to get any bigger than that. What, the Lakers are going to win a playoff series? Lakers aren't going to win a playoff series with this roster, so I think it probably is. And if you're going to post something, you lose by 42 points and you want to post something and congratulate yourself on Instagram, imagine what happens after you get a nice win like that in Boston. So you lose by 42 points to the Pacers without Victor Oladipo. You want to go on Instagram and talk about how great you are. Imagine what you should be doing on Instagram this morning.
Boy, it's amazing. You would talk trash about LeBron last year, and people would just light up and go crazy. Now everybody wants to agree with
now
you,
we love
Justin.
It.
Justin Termini joining us on the show. I got to go back to the Cavs, and then we'll go back to the other way, because I got to get this. So what did you grade the Cavaliers' trades trying to make themselves better for the future with this trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, not just the deadline. I think all season they've done a fantastic job, right? There's not many assets on the roster that you can do anything with outside of Kevin Love, who's been hurt, so you're not going to be able to deal him. But you got two picks for George Hill. You got two picks from Kyle Korver. You got two picks for Rodney Hood. And then you're able to flip Stauskas and Baldwin here and make it into another first-round pick. So I think all the picks that you're stockpiling is the direction that you have to go if you're going to build via a young team. Because we all know, even though I love Cleveland, like I love all the sports towns, right? So I love Cleveland, Philadelphia, Boston. I think that's where guys should want to play. I love those towns, but they're not free agent destinations, so you got to build through the draft.
Would you sit Kevin Love for the rest of the year?
I'm not sure that it even matters. As long as you make sure that you get one of the three worst records, I think that's the most important thing. As long as you get one of the three worst records, then you sit him the rest of the year. Or you can play. But if it's going to take you out of that mix, then I think you sit.
Justin Termini joining us on the hotline. The NBA making sure the Pelicans have to reverse course on the decision to sit Anthony Davis for the rest of the year. I understand exactly why they would want to sit him for many reasons. Do you think the NBA should be able to come in and dictate what a team should do, whether or not it's in their or a player's best self-interest?
Yeah, I don't really think they should be able to do that, because look at it from this perspective. They can just say, well, we think he makes us a worse team. You're going to force us to play a guy that we think is going to make us a worse team. Now, granted, there's no way that Anthony Davis makes you a worse team, but they
hasn't made him a better team.
No.
It's not getting. I mean, listen, they're not playing well anyway, which makes you question like how good Anthony Davis is. Even though I love Davis, I think he can potentially be a historic talent. But why, with Drew Holiday, who's really good, and Julius Randle, who's really good, are they nowhere near the postseason? So that's confusing. If he gets hurt and they lose that asset, and they, you know, it sets the organization back here. So I think it's a very dicey spot for the NBA to come in and say something like
Justin,
that.
Justin, it just really starts to frost my you-know-whats here, because when we talk about Anthony Davis, you look at the stats, and my God, they're fantastic. But you know what? We were talking about him being an MVP. Now he's been completely passed up by Giannis. Giannis makes everyone else around him better. This guy, you brought up Drew Holiday, you brought up Julius Randle. These are good basketball players. Why are you not elevating your basketball team? So what is missing with you, and why are we making a big deal about you?
Yeah, it's perplexing. And I make a big deal about it, because I say that, you know, now I put Steph Curry into this mix as well. But historically, in the history of the sport, I thought a couple of years ago there was only three guys talented enough to maybe break into the top 15 all time. LeBron, who's obviously already there, Durant has the talent, and Anthony Davis. I didn't even put Steph Curry in that conversation. Now I put Curry in that conversation, but that's how good I think Davis is. I mean, he's as talented as could be, but it's got to result in wins, and it doesn't result in wins. The only thing you can think of is everybody else that you sort of list is on that list right now, the way the game is played, has the ball in their hands. Davis has to get somebody, you know, have somebody give him the ball, so he can't create. So that's the only thing you can think of. But then again, he plays with Drew Holiday, who's a very good player.
All right, Justin, you're taking phone calls from all around the country on every day. Now, this town was infatuated with basketball 11 out of the last 15 years, and even you could even say the years that they didn't have LeBron, because they had Kyrie in three of those years. Yet now, obviously, here, popularity of basketball is probably on the lower scale. Nationally, all we're hearing about is where Kyrie, where Anthony Davis, where Kevin Durant, where Jimmy Butler, and the list goes on of guys could be going next year. How is this being, you know, perceived around the league, around this country, that obviously it has a booming popularity in the NBA, but a lot of towns are probably feeling left out?
Yeah, I haven't talked about one game in like 2 weeks. Now, maybe I'll talk Lakers-Celtics today, but it's been 2+ weeks since I've talked about a game, and it sits in two fronts. You got the LeBron fan, not the Laker, but you got the LeBron fan who wants Davis to go out there, and then you got everybody else who wants the Pelicans, even if it's a great deal, and I'm in that boat, who want them to hold on to Anthony Davis just so LeBron doesn't get his way, Rich Paul doesn't get his way, the Lakers don't get their way, and stand up for the small markets. Because, yeah, I mean, it's fun to talk about all this movement, and I think that sells. But once the season starts, if you're New Orleans, if you're Charlotte, if you're Orlando, and you have no shot, I mean, look at it this way. The Boston Celtics are a prestigious organization, right? If you've got Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving potentially not wanting to play for the Celtics when they're set up perfectly, like they are set, Danny Ainge has done a flawless job. They're set up perfectly, and you've got marquee free agents going, you know what, Boston's not good enough for me. That organization's not stable enough. That city isn't good enough. I want to play in L.A. and New York. So if you don't want to play in Boston for the Boston Celtics because you're so concerned about going to L.A. or New York, how the hell is Charlotte going to compete? How are you going to compete in Cleveland if guys don't want to play for the Celtics? How are you going to compete in Minnesota or San Antonio now moving forward, or other small markets, if guys are so concerned with the market size and the flash and the lifestyle that they won't live in Boston and play for the Celtics?
Justin Termini, join us on the hotline. Who in, you know, your estimation right now, best team in the Eastern Conference, and is the Eastern Conference the best team this year? Would they beat the Cavs of the last few years?
That's a good question. The Cavs of the last couple of years, yeah, I think that would be the case. So LeBron got out at the perfect time. I'm not saying why that's why he left, but I think he did get out at the perfect time. It's only because you have four of them, right? So at some point you would think, like, even if the Cavs were on equal footing with them, something fluky could happen. It's difficult. This is the best the Eastern Conference has been in 20 years. I don't think the Eastern Conference has been this deep with four solid teams like this during LeBron's tenure in Miami or Cleveland. And it's really hard to decipher who's the best. I mean, Milwaukee just added Mirotić yesterday. That's a really big piece. That guy can shoot the three. He's spread the floor for Antetokounmpo, and it makes him even more dangerous. I would still say that Milwaukee's at the top. Philadelphia's got the best starting five outside of Golden State, but their depth is a little bit of a concern. Chemistry might be as well. Boston, despite the loss last night, has been amongst the hottest teams in the NBA since Thanksgiving. Toronto has fallen off a little bit, so I might put Toronto at the bottom of the four teams. But you know, I wouldn't be shocked if any one of those teams came out.
What did you think of the All-Star draft last night?
I was actually on the air, so I didn't pay much attention to it. And I don't really get much into the – like, I'm going down to Charlotte. I went out to L.A. last year. I've been covering it since, I think, like 2012. And every single year they say, Termini, we'll book you home a flight on Monday. And I say, no, you get me the flight for Sunday morning. I want nothing to do with the game. I don't like watching it.
Come on, man. If this game's close, in the waning moments, isn't it fun to see, you know, all these big-time superstars decide who gets the final shots? Who's going to be the one to try to put their team over the edge?
I did go a couple of years ago, and it was my hometown in New York. I left after Christina Aguilera sang, like, at the beginning of the show. I wanted to get a look at her just so I could tell some of the young ladies I was dating that I saw Aguilera in concert, and that was it. Then I left. No, I have no interest in how the game unfolds.
Oh, what a story that is.
And finally, Justin, we got to ask you, because you had a special teams coach for the Browns say yesterday, and I figured you'd want to weigh in on this.
Oh, please, yeah. Yes.
We had him admit, which I thought almost would have been an immediate dismissal in my eyes. He admitted that at his wedding, his father was his best man. Where are you on having your dad be your best man at the wedding?
Well, I mean, I don't have a wife yet, surprisingly. I mean, you hear me talk, you see my picture on Twitter, you think I'm married.
Well, what do you think of that? What do you think? You're wasting time, Justin. Tell me what you think.
So would I have my father be my best man?
Yeah.
No, I would not have my father be my best man. That's ridiculous.
All right.
I think it would raise concerns amongst my future wife that this guy has no friends. Can he get along with anybody?
That was kind of our point of view earlier today. And by the way, we were shunned in some circles for saying that.
A couple people were upset. Yep.
Those are people without any friends.
Justin, we thank you very much for the time. All the best, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thank you. Justin Termini joining us. NBA Today on SiriusXM NBA Radio. See, the Cavs got to be better soon so we can have him on more. I love him.
I know. He doesn't want to talk about Colin Sexton the entire show. But
who
he
does?
Did say, by the way, he did say something that maybe I should pay a little more attention to, which is
what?
We did know as a rookie undersized point guard, Colin Sexton was going to go through the struggles. And boy, and how he obviously has. He's had a few glimmers of hope. Obviously, that game against Terry Rozier, Kyrie did not play in that game, probably for the better. But he did outplay Terry Rozier. And we've seen at times in the playoffs how good or how adequate Terry Rozier could be. I think Colin's got a long way to go. I don't know that he'll ever be a superstar, but I think he's got some staying power in the league because he does work his ass off. He does have the motor that they always like to talk about. I just don't know. I would have taken a bigger chance, a bigger swing on someone else who probably also would have busted.
The guy who was taking after him, Kevin Knox.
I wanted Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox has had a terrible year also.
Oh, I think he's had some good
flashes.
He
was player of the month 1 month, but his stats,
that's
statistically.
That's still pretty good.
Okay. It is. Statistically, has not been good.
What are we really looking at? Are we really looking at a guy's stats in his rookie year? I don't know if we are. I think we're watching him every single game and wanting to know if he develops. Because I can look at a stat line, and I can get all upset and bothered because I looked at Colin Sexton's stat line. And then all of a sudden, when he's not in the game in the final few minutes of the game at crunch time, then I can get all upset. Well, I can understand that you have to pay attention to the turnovers. You have to pay attention to whether or not he's running the right offense, whether you can see whether or not he's running the right sets. And then in the final few minutes of the game, they're going to try to win that game. Larry Drew's trying to win. And I don't care what anybody says. I know you made a big deal about this before, and I'm using this as the one example. You still need to earn those minutes at the end of the game. You can't, I know you have to find out what he can do, but you still have to earn your way to do that. And if you're trying to win the game, which Larry Drew is going to try to do, then if you want to be out there, you have to earn the right to be out there. I would love him to be the guy that you would trust with the ball in his hands for the final shot. But I don't think that just happens overnight with a number, 8 overall pick? I don't think it happens like that. So he's got to develop into that. And I think it would be the same way for Kevin Knox, even though they're different players. It would be the same way for him and be the same way for everybody there. That's where I come out on it. 216-578-0092. Coming up next, is motivation really a sincere factor?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.